Office Wife. The story of the girl who married her boss and of the girl who took over. Here is Mr. Tressida Bendigo to begin a further chapter of Office Wife.
Taking everything into account, I'm glad the last few days are over. The first shock of Jeff Pilgrim's tragic death has worn off. And I must say, Marcia's taken it with more backbone than I expected. Seems to have made more of a woman of her, if you get what I mean. She's terribly cut up, but there haven't been any wild hysterics, no wailing and tearing of hair sort of thing. And I'm only hoping that she can keep a stiff upper lip, get over it completely, and in the fullness of time, marry again. So, now to affairs of the moment. I have a busy morning ahead. Fleming has my new chap, Glover, installed in Miles Hendricks' old office. And I think now's the time to tell him exactly what he's in the firm for.
I think I have the hang of your procedure here, Mr. Bendigo. If I may say so, you use a remarkably efficient system.
It has to be. Ours is a complicated business operation. That's why we use so many machines.
Quite so, sir. From what I've seen, one decent error could cost you thousands.
Tens of thousands. Now, look here, Glover. By this time, you must have an idea that you're not here just as a chartered accountant to do routine office work. Am I right?
Actually, Mr. Bendigo, I'm a little mystified.
You won't be in a moment. Glover, for about 12 months, something's been going on here that I'm not happy about.
You mean you're being shot at? Financially?
No. I think certain persons, or maybe just one person, is trying to get on in the firm by sharp practices. Oh, it's only a suspicion up to date, so I'm mentioning no names. I want you to watch what's going on here like a hawk.
I'm sorry, Mr. Bendigo. I don't quite see what you're driving at.
Well, before I go any further, I must impress on you that what I'm going to say must be in the strictest confidence.
Of course, that's understood.
Right. Now, the whole matter concerns my niece, her husband, the chap who was drowned a few days ago, a young woman we had here till recently called Bronson, and one or two others. I had no suspicion until one night, quite out of the blue, you understand, my niece had a telephone call.
Well?
Oh, good morning, Glover. I'm Harry Palmer. I was as busy as the very devil when Percy Fleming introduced us yesterday. I thought I'd make myself known and wish you luck.
That's very decent of you, Palmer. Take a few.
Oh, thanks.
Smoke?
Thanks again. I expect you will be taking over Miles Hendricks' accounts, eh?
Yes. When I get the drill here, I suppose something of the kind will come my way.
Yes. I look after the Puller interests. You know Benny Puller, the importer?
Well, who doesn't?
Did you know the chap who was here before you, Miles Hendricks?
I don't think I did.
Huh. Rather odd, that. Miles was a handling goods scout and quite an important cog in the Tressida Bendigo machine. We all expected them to take old Miles from here to his grave sort of thing. Suddenly, bang! Miles was shoved off to look after an interstate branch.
Oh, that doesn't sound so odd.
We all wondered if he'd been shot out of the way under a cloud or something. I don't suppose you've any clues.
Oh, my dear chap, I don't even know the villain.
Oh, I'm only mildly curious. What are they doing about his secretary for you?
Oh, there was some mention of a Miss Stevens.
Yes? Little Tessie, eh? Oh, she's all right if you don't panic her. Under pressure, she's liable to flutter a bit.
Thanks. I'll bear it in mind.
You should have been here a few weeks ago. You had a lass here then who'd curl your hair. One Stella Bronson. You'll hear about it in time. We had quite a scandal under the staid Bendigo roof. Or have you heard the story already?
I'm an accountant, old man. Interested in a different kind of figures. Don't hold it against me, but a wife and four youngsters. And so long as they can take dictation and type a reasonably decent letter, I don't care if the office girls have two heads apiece.
Heaven forbid. Oh, well, I won't hold you up any longer. All the best here. Let's sink a pint after five one evening. What do you say?
Nothing I'd like more.
No, well, cheerio.
I'll be seeing you. So, that is Mr. Palmer. Rather interesting.
Have you seen the new chap Glover yet, Millie?
That rather handsome type with the wavy hair?
Yes, that's the cove. Now listen carefully. Watch your step there as you've never watched it before.
Why, who's he? Only another accountant executive, isn't he?
He looks nice and innocent, Poppet, but I'm not so sure.
You're not so sure of what?
I don't quite know. Call it a hunch. Call it anything you like, but I have a feeling there's more to Mr. Glover than meets the eye.
Oh, go on with you. Don't be silly.
You do as I say, Millie, and don't argue. Anything you hear, keep it absolutely to yourself, but tell me.
On the switchboard?
Yes.
Well, you might tell me what's put all this in your mind, Harry.
Oh, just a minute till I get out of this tangle.
What makes you so scared of him?
No, I'm not scared of the blighter. I just don't want to make any mistakes. Listen, the day before Miles Hendricks left, I caught the tail end of a discussion he had with Percy Fleming. Miles was demanding an explanation of something. And Percy was saying he'd like to tell him the score, but he wasn't at liberty to.
Well, so what? Miles had to move his whole family when they transferred
him. That wasn't what worried him. I know they shoved him up 300 a year. Oh, no. The last thing I heard was something about why didn't Bendigo stuff the firm with spies if that was the way he felt.
Who said that? Miles? Or old Percy?
Miles, of course. So there you have it, Puppet. Glover just could be around to watch out for something.
Such as what, for instance?
Such as you and me?
Well.
Food for thought, eh, Millie? I think we'd better bear it in mind.
Ah, I'm glad you called in, Mr. Palmer. Sit down, won't you? Now, about this overdraft of yours.
Yes, yes, I'm frightfully sorry to have let you down again. I thought perhaps if you could give me, say, another month...
But the trouble is, Mr. Palmer, I'm afraid that's not quite good enough. We've given you too many months already. You undertook to balance your account on the 1st of August, then on the 1st of September, then on the 1st of October, and so on.
Yes, but I explained the circumstances. I've had a lot of unexpected expense lately. If you'd only give me a little longer...
I'm sorry. We've already been very generous, and I'm very much afraid you haven't honored your undertaking with the bank.
I assure you, sir, it's been through circumstances quite out of my control.
I'm afraid your checks don't bear that out. Now, here's one, made out to cash, admittedly, but I happen to know drawn to pay your bookmaker. Here's another, £26 to Curassier's Bar and Nightclub. Shall I go on?
Those were in payment of bills contracted months ago.
Your bill to this bank was contracted months ago. I made your unsecured overdraft available to you, Mr. Palmer, on your personal credit and the credit of the firm you are with. Now, I don't want to take strong measures to recover the amount, but I think 7 days should see your account balanced.
7 days? But I can't possibly raise it in 7 days.
There's no other course open to me. Sorry.
You mean you'll sue?
We generally collect by a garnishee order from the courts.
Confound it, if you get a garnishee order, it'll cost me my job.
Sorry. You've 7 days, Mr. Palmer.
Tristan Bendigo and Company. Now, look here, sir. They're a conservative firm, and I'm an executive. I can't have our chief clerk handing over my salary on a court order.
We've given you all the latitude you can expect, Mr. Palmer, and more. I don't like taking the stand, but As your bank manager, I've no choice. Now, I'm very busy.
Yes, but look here.
Sorry, Mr. Palmer. Good day.
Oh, but gee, Harry, it's taken me years to save up what's in the bank. And it's only £160.
Oh, but I'm up against it. I made the bookies' checks out to cash.
If you were broke, you shouldn't have been betting.
How the devil could I recover my losses without betting? Oh, come along, Lily, be a good kid. You get it back and... Anyway, we'll be married one day, won't we?
One day, but when? When I'm grey as a cat?
The moment things settle down at the office and I get my salary hoisted up a bit, we'll announce our engagement.
I wouldn't mind giving you the money if we could announce it right away.
Hang it, Millie, not right now. Don't you see, with Jeff Pilgrim being drowned, a chap's best friend and all that, well, it simply wouldn't look right.
Is that the only reason?
Of course it is.
I'm not so sure. You already owe me £15 just for taking Marcia Pilgrim out, and I'm not going to give you any more.
Now, look here. If you want to hang on to your rotten money so badly, perhaps Marcia Pilgrim would be glad to lend it to me.
Oh.
She's a widow now, Millie. She might like to get married again. Have you thought of that?
Oh, Harry Palmer, you
Well,
wouldn't.
Come on, make up your mind. Do I get the money from you, or do I have to go to Marcia?
Well, all right then, take it. But if you ever let me down, Harry Potter...
Lily, darling, you're an angel. Come here and be kissed. Phew, that was cursed. I thought for a minute she was going to turn me down. But just the same, the time's coming when I'll be marrying Marcia. And what's little Millie going to say then? Something has to be done about our Miss Moffat, and soon, very soon... Now, I wonder what's the best way to go about it.
We invite you to listen to further episodes of Office Wife. Written by L.J. Hardy, a Donovan Joyce production.